Krishna, Krishna.
The following is a recording of a question and answer series, Pariprasnena Sevaya, Day 10, given by His Holiness R.P. Bhakti Raghava Swami Maharaj, recorded on April 4th, 2020 in Hebri, India.
Hare Krishna. Welcome to our Pariprasnena Sevaya. Pariprasnena Sevaya. Question and answer session that we started already over 1 week ago. By the nice arrangement of our Rameshwar Prabhu, we have a little bit of a improved background. We hope to improve it more still. So we'll begin with a short invocation. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gradhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Sri Prabhupada Ki. So welcome everyone to our discussions on topics which generally will be related to Varnasrama Dharma. Today is actually a special day. I'd like to speak a little bit about the very auspicious appearance day of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. I was greatly fortunate to actually get his associates ago when I first came to India, and that was just a few days before Gaur Purnima of 1976. And I was a brahmachari at that time, had served in our temple in Ottawa, Canada, for 2 years, from 1974 to 1976. Had been hearing lectures and hearing stories about Mayapur Dham, Vrindavan Dham, especially Mayapur, and had developed a desire to visit. Finally, Krishna was kind. was prominent persons given him the responsibility to actually develop the Mayapur project. Not many devotees at that time. I am extremely indebted actually to Jayapataka Maharaj, mainly reasons, but one of the main reasons is that it was due to his intervention and being inspired at that time, as we know, was very much in need of devotees to help main projects, Sridhar Mayapur, Vrindavan, the Mumbai project. So a leader had requested that the GBC members and India try to arrange. So anyways, it's a long story, but if it was not for his, as I mentioned, intervention, I've had this very rare and great fortune of having a station covered, because by that time he knew Bengali. And the very important work of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Godavari, was a revelation to all of us. And I vividly remember Jai Pratak Maharaj calling a meeting of a few devotees, and he was like full of enthusiasm, very arranged. And of course, Jai Pratak Maharaj was that main personality who was inspiring and leading. He had a big bus, became ill, something happened, no one was there. And when I was previously in Canada, I had driven student days during the summer, and to drive a taxi, driver's license, which is showing that you can be more safe in driving, etc. So anyways, I had this particular license, and I mentioned to Maharaj, and immediately said, okay, you're my driver. So we drove all the way to North Bengal on the way back. And so I remember Maharaj was very, very patient with everyone. He was the only one, one of the few people who was having a computer. And because so many wonderful programs were taking place, he was always on the computer, not always, but spending a lot of time sending reports, communicating with devotees. And I remember in North Bengal, you know, just imagine you're in a village and electricity is not always there to begin with. And then to get a proper connection, it was a big challenge. And very often he would have to have extensions going from his bus, where he would be sitting and doing his typing on the computer at night. And and then devotees would be walking maybe in the dark at night and stepping on this extension and breaking the connection, and then he would lose all of his material and he would come out and be shouting and being very upset because this happened more than once. This was part of the various struggles. Maharaj was always, although having to face many obstacles, always very, very enthusiastic. He opened many frontiers. He traveled to so many places around and met with many obstacles, some life-threatening situations as well. So I remained actually ever indebted and grateful to Jai Pratak Maharaj. Mentioned one of the first sannyasis in our ISKCON society, and that you know, 2006 or 2020. So 4 years ago, we celebrated of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada registered his society. International Society for Krishna Consciousness in New York in 1966. So 2016 marked the 50th anniversary of ISKCON being established. And so from at that time, as we know, some devotees had already joined. Srila Prabhupada had begun to initiate devotees. And just very soon after that, His Holiness Japtak Maharaj, as a young brahmachari, very young, joined in 1968, I believe, spent some time in Montreal. I was not a devotee at that time. I joined some 6 years after Maharaj joined in 1974 in autumn. So Maharaj joined in 1966. That means that already he's already celebrated his jubilee within ISKCON. And what is very unique and special is that he will be the first sannyasi who will actually be celebrating his 50th anniversary this year, because he took sannyas in the year 1970. So he will be actually the first sannyasi to have served in the capacity of a sannyasi in a renounced order of life for 50 years. That is a landmark. And that is a testimony to the potency of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. There are so many wonderful devotees who have been serving this mission established by Srila Prabhupada, and more and more devotees, at least for a few more years, will also be celebrating their 50th anniversary of serving within ISKCON. I don't know how many will be able to have special and unique position of having served in the sannyas order for 50 years. In any event, everything is up, is in the hands of Krishna. So I'd like to take this opportunity today to thank you, Japtak Maharaj, for being very merciful to myself, to having given me this wonderful opportunity. And I also became inspired to accept and take sannyas under His Holiness Japtak Maharaj. I was actually in Sridharmayapur serving from 1976. Then in 1984, actually in 1984 at Gaur Purnima, or before Gaur Purnima, as we have been doing for all of these years, GBC meetings. And so I was recommended for sannyas in 1984. And then a few days after Gaur Purnima, the same year, 1984, that's when Mayapur was attacked. And that's where I had my accident, lost my leg. And in those days, not like today, in those days, if somebody was recommended for sannyas, very often, at least that happened in my case, the very next year, of course, there were more Holiness Bhakti Chaturum, a few months, practically speaking, after being, because I was in Mayapur when Maharaj came and joined as a devotee, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. And so in those days, Srila Prabhupada being present, many things had to happen more. Up to 1984, so I was fortunate to be able to take sannyas in 1984 by His Holiness. I believe I speak for all of your disciples and the devotees within our ISKCON society. We are extremely grateful for your presence, for your example of strong preaching. We wish you good health under very challenging conditions. Still, you are and remaining a major inspiration for all of us. May Krishna be kind and always merciful in allowing you to fulfill the various orders given to you by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, and may you live for many years and give us your kind association. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Jayaprak Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai His Holiness Jayaprak Maharaj Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So, a new speak and everything we read actually in this book is very a source of inspiration because, first of all, it is spoken directly by Srila Prabhupada, and he is revealing so many different aspects that sometimes we don't think about or we don't know. So this is a morning walk that was taking place in Vrindavan on March the 14th, 1974. Is working is also preaching. Working is also preaching. And some of the subtitles or themes in this chapter. Number one, producing food will impress government that we are not lazy. Something very important. Second thing, for Krishna. Theme, we are not lazy like Mayavadis. So I'll just read one section here. This is Prabhupada speaking. If it comes to the notice of the government that we're maintaining ourselves by producing production, they'll like that very much. Then some devotees say, the society would go to Gokula and there it would be decided what their work would be. Prabhupada, yes, first of all, there should be an instructor on the spiritual life. Then, according to his position, according to his position means according to one's nature, after receiving basic spiritual instructions, then one would be taught or take up different kinds of activities. Or one's varna would be established. And this is very much what is described actually in the Kautilya Arthashastra, whereby it's mentioned that first, the first of the sciences or first knowledge that one needs to imbibe and learn in a gurukula, in the Vedic system, is the philosophy, Vedic culture, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. and then other sciences, other areas of knowledge can be taken up. Our spiritual life is meant, we should always remember, main thing is spiritual life, but for management we have to make divisions. Then one devotee is telling, actually the whole society could be or should be Vaishnavas. Ah, they're Vaishnavas. But because they have got to live in the material world, there must be division of work. So, even one is having different occupation, if he is practicing Krishna consciousness, he's a Vaishnava. If everyone wants to become the brain, who will act as leg? That is also required. If everyone says, no, no, I'm not going to do the work of leg, I want simply to work as... No, it is needed. The brain is needed, the hand is needed, the belly is needed, the leg is needed. So that we have to divide. Who will work as brain? Who will work as hand? Who will work as leg? The main aim is how to maintain the body perfectly fit. That should be the aim. How the society will go on nicely. And for management, this hand, leg, brain, belly must be divided. Just like there's a slight difference, those who are directly engaged in temple worship and those who are going to sell books. Apparently there's difference, but basically there is no difference. Actually, there was a whole argument or controversy in those days amongst, or actually between book distributors and those who, and one who was not a book distributor was considered to be in Maya. So this became a very major controversy that was finally one day brought up to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, although book distribution is very, very dear to him, settled the matter by mentioning all activities performed in devotional service for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna are transcendental. So just like Prabhupada is telling here, apparently there's difference, but basically there is no difference like that. If one can sell books nicely, why should he be engaged in temple worship? He can do better work in that way. But there's no difference between selling the books and temple worship or washing the dishes. There's no difference because it is all transcendental. Yes. Just like Angandi Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti from Brahma Samhita 532, he has all the potencies of all the senses in all parts of his transcendental body. Krishna's hands and legs, there's no difference. You've read this verse? So like this, a very important instruction that Srila Prabhupada is giving and sharing with the devotees, that to work, because especially in a farming community, in a village, in an agrarian lifestyle, there are different activities, some of which require physical work. Yes. Formed for Krishna, then it is all transcendental. Let us go now to some of the questions that we are receiving. I would like to thank Rasamandal Prabhu actually for sending every day a few questions that are being sent to him. And let's see here. Yes. Yesterday we finished with question number 30. So we begin this session, or 10th day. And this is a question from Kakinada, which is here in India, Srutakirti Prabhu, who asked previously asked a question also. Here we go. Some devotees show interest to live in village temples and don't want to go to city temples. Some devotees show interest to live in city temples and won't show an interest in village preaching. Kindly enlighten me whether these two ways of thinking come under fruitive thinking. Actually, whatever we do, based on our own whim or desire, is falling in the category of fruitive mentality or with motivation. We should be serving without motivation. Of course, there are different things that need to be taken into consideration. If one is more inclined to do some preaching in the city by going to colleges, universities, by distributing books, by traveling from city to city, then this is wonderful. If one, on the other hand, is wanting to engage in connected with growing food, so this is very much connected with the point that Prabhupada was explaining that we read just a few minutes ago. Any activity, when performed under the direction of higher authorities and for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, is a transcendental activity. So, what also comes to mind is that many ways, at various times, Srila Prabhupada instructed, reminded us, tried to explain that a more simple and natural way to live, a more congenial lifestyle for our practice of Krishna consciousness, is rural setting. A whole dedication to this again and again, because forget it, or we don't sufficiently understand or appreciate what that means. So, our aim as a society is actually to bring this, whereby, as Prabhupada would say, why are we forcing people to work in factories, which is not natural? Why not simply learn to be happy and satisfied by growing our own food, by caring for cows, and living in a more localized place, like villages? So, whatever we may be thinking, whatever we may be desiring, one must look at what is the actual motivation. In a broad way, just to conclude on this point, in a broad way, our presence in the villages, our presence in the cities should be first and foremost for preaching. And therefore, I've said this many times, our preaching bases should be in the cities. But if we understand what Prabhupada explained also earlier, we can also be preaching by being in the country, by being in villages. But the point I'm trying to explain here is that for preaching purposes, in terms of distributing books, in terms of conducting various programs, then we have open, Srila Prabhupada established an open city temples all over the world to have the presence of the Lord in His Arsha Vigraha form and give an opportunity for people to come and have darshan and gradually introduce to Krishna consciousness. If we're not engaged, then it is ideal for our devotees to remain in cities. And therefore, our living basis should be in the country. This can be, and should be actually, discussed a lot more. And so many constraints or limitations, various challenges, some of the questions we have addressed in the last few days were also in connection with, okay, sometimes devotees understand very much that we should be in the country, we should be closer to what the Vedic style is as demonstrated by Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. But there are so many difficulties to make that happen. So this is something that requires more discussion, of course, but the fact remains, we should know what is the Vedic norm or the Vedic standard in terms of how, what is the most ideal way in which people should live. And again, living in villages does not mean that we don't preach. We also can be preaching and should be preaching, and whatever activity that we perform when done in the proper consciousness is also preaching. Again, more could be said on this point, but hopefully that will give some clarity. Now we go to another question, which is from Hibri, from our backyard. This is from Ram Lakshman Prabhu. Another question. I observed some devotees while chanting on their beads, in between the they chant 100 names, 108 names of Rama, Vishnu, or Ugram Viram Maha Vishnum, etc. Question, is it acceptable? Is it not deviating from the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada? It is just adding. As long as one is chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can chant other names, but we should not replace other mantras for the Maha Mantra, which is possibly what is being asked here, that in between chanting the rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, some devotees, according to this statement, replace, let's a round number two with other names. This is not, if it's happening like that, this is not bona fide. Srila Prabhupada wanted that we chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I've never heard anything different. I've never seen or experienced anything different. There is no objection whatsoever if, in addition to chanting 16 full rounds of the Maha Mantra, one either after or in between rounds also chants names of other incarnations or other avatars. That's fine. But it should not replace the Maha Mantra. After all, the Maha Mantra is the Maha Mantra. And it is chanting for this age of Kali. And therefore, that is the standing order. And Srila Prabhupada showed by example. He was always himself traveling and having his japamala, and he was also chanting on that japamala. It was not just for decoration. And Prabhupada was chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this is what we hear from the Shastra. This is what we see in our previous acharyas. And therefore, this is new to me. This is happening. Are replacing. We cannot replace the Maha Mantra for other mantras, you see. Even if they are glorifying, just like there's the Panchatattva Mantra. It's very interesting, actually. Prabhupada explains that we can chant the Panchatattva Mantra. I forget exactly the context or the details. Under some very specific or unique kind of situation. But the standard for these is to chant fully the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, 108 times. And we are meant to chant 16 of those 108 names of the Lord through the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This clarifies the matter. Yes. Okay. Question is coming from Pune, from okay. Here we go. Since 2.5 years, I've been associated visually disabled. I get drawn to them and vice versa. This seva came my way, though I... Is it due to some karma bandhan with them, or I must see it simply as Lord's arrangement to evolve spiritually, or both are true? And the last part of the question, is there a reason behind why we get to serve Guru and Krishna in a particular way? Everything is ordained by Krishna in terms of service. You mentioned that you have a natural, naturally, and such individuals are also drawn to you. This is a very special kind of seva, a very specialized kind of should understand it as a special mercy that the Lord is giving you this natural inclination, natural attraction, and obviously natural ability. Because I had the great opportunity to attend some of these classes and to see how those young students are very attentive and very happy with this kind of teaching and exchange that is going on between yourself and these students. So Krishna knows our inner desires. Krishna is directing actually the wanderings of all living entities. Sarva sachaham ridhi sannivisto mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna, who is seated within the heart of all living entities, gives us knowledge, remembrance, as well as forgetfulness. So we should know that nothing actually happens by chance, and sometimes we are also put in situations where we are being confronted. In your case, this example is that it's a pleasing and pleasant situation to both yourself. So the students whom you come in contact with, whom you are given an opportunity to help. You've already, by mercy and arrangement, been translating a number of books in Braille as well, which is a tremendous benefit and service for people who cannot. Now, sometimes Krishna arranges opposite situations where devotees change temple or a community, they are always having a neighbor with whom they have differences, or they come in contact with devotees that are always presenting a challenge. So we all have different situations, and are arranged due to karma and due to desire as well. So whatever the situation may be, we should learn lessons from that. And of course, the main lesson is how to improve and advance in our Krishna consciousness. I've given the example of the great philosopher Aristotle, whose wife was always criticizing him, nagging him, as we say in English, disturbing him in different ways, not appreciating him at all. But he was, meantime, having hundreds, if not thousands, of students and pupils, and he was recognized as the greatest philosopher of his times. And one of his close friends was mentioning how you're so unfortunate because although you're such a great person, you're such a great philosopher, you have so much of knowledge, and so many people are your followers, are your disciples, and so many people respect you, but you have a nagging wife whenever you go home. And then immediately, Aristotle corrected him, "No, don't say like that. My wife, she is my guru. I accept her as my guru because she is helping me to become patient. She's helping me to tolerate." So we're all put in different situations, and we have to develop this Shastra Chakshu, vision, transcendental vision, understanding that we're put in that situation not by chance. Nothing happens by chance. Everything happens by the arrangement, by providence, and for us to learn from these different situations and Therefore, it's a question of developing the proper mood. And in this case, the arrangements that Krishna is making, having this kind of very pleasant service, to further your mission, to giving such opportunity so that more people can, it's like that. Okay, whenever we come to 8:17, which is the time, we are close to the end of our session today. We are, let's see, having another, for those who are in India, today is the 4th of April. We are in lockdown another 10 or 11 days, so we request devotees to kindly continue being cautious, and the situation worldwide continues to be, as a whole, very critical. And therefore, it's part of what we should be doing as devotees, being exemplary in taking on proper responsibility, in hearing and following the good directives and instructions that are being given to us by our local authorities or by government agencies, etc. It's very nice to hear how in different places devotees continue. I usually get more information from some of our rural projects where devotees are, for example, harvesting mangoes in Chirala right now. We have a WhatsApp group, and this should be of interest to devotees who may not know about this group. You can be part of this group. The title of this group is Food, Devotee Grown. Part of our goal and objective, actually, whenever it is possible. And it's not only possible in the country or in villages. Some of this can also be taken up in urban areas in the cities. Urban, it's called urban farming or urban gardening. Different names are there. So we very much encourage devotees. This is a theme that comes up in the book, speaking about Varnasrama, learning to be self-sufficient by growing our own food. When we grow our own food, we know that this is pure and wholesome food that can be offered to Krishna. Before the rain, at SSKBK, Sayadri Sri Krishnabalaram Kshetra in South India, we are having some 14 acres of land. So now is the time our devotees are going to be collecting dry wood very soon. Today, some of our devotees started to make some cow cake, dry cow cake, and to store it before the rains come, collecting wood before the rains come. Rains come is also very important. There are many different activities, especially those, we forget about these activities, of course, when we are living in the city. And that's why we encourage devotees, even you may be living in the city, at least on a small scale, to again become connected Many devotees may be having the opportunity of a rooftop garden. I mean, when I was in Hyderabad, when I started these studies, I was staying at the residence of Satyamadhava Prabhu, and he had a nice open roof and also a nice open garden. So the name of this place is Madhava Bhavan. So we call the garden Madhava Garden. And not a big area, but actually we were able to grow so many things. And even now, some of these cherry tomatoes, very bright red-colored cherry tomatoes and very sweet, very tasteful, are still coming out of that garden. So this is nature. This is Krishna's nature. So we are meant to come in contact with Krishna not only through the chanting of the holy name, but also through his nature. And we're seeing how, you know, there are miracles practically taking place due to this whole epidemic and everyone being inside, and in many countries under this lockdown, so much less, I mean, so many flights are stopped, and so much less traffic or no traffic, practically speaking. So immediately, within even a few days, nature is reacting positively. Where the waters, someone just sent a short clip about the Jamuna, and how you can actually see the bottom of the Jamuna, you know, close by. Before that, you could not, because so many industries polluting. So this whole modern civilization, which has increased been very causing detrimental, catastrophic effects actually to ecology. hopefully, many people in the world, many leaders in the world, many of our own devotees as well, important realizations about the need and the importance to not the established laws of nature, to live in harmony with nature and live in harmony with our original spiritual nature as well. This is actually the challenge when we speak about dharma, about reestablishing. These are the two natures we are talking about. Original spiritual nature as eternal servants of Krishna on the one hand, and also establishing our material nature, or living more in harmony with our with Mother Nature, and more in keeping with the prescribed activities that are recommended actually in the Bhagavad Gita and our Vedic literatures, where we don't manipulate or we don't exploit the natural resources of nature. So Krishna consciousness means actually coming back to these two original natures. The more we do this, we will be more in harmony with these two natures, and therefore we will be able to live more peacefully and more easily be able to progress and advance in Krishna consciousness, which is the primary goal and objective of life. So once again, in questions, please continue to do this. We will try our best to address these questions, and everyone kindly remain safe and continue to take shelter of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Sri Prabhupada ki, Jai Samasta Gaura Bhakti Vrinda ki, Gaura Pimanande.